are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I am thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to continue to talk about this World Series. Since we last spoke, three games took place. As I kind of suspected, the Dodgers ended up taking two out of those three games, but the middle game, game four, was absolutely bonkers, with the Dodgers having a ninth inning lead and then giving up two runs with two outs in the bottom of the ninth on a crazy play. So we'll talk all about that. We'll talk about the two games that surrounded that game and then what's going to happen now with the Dodgers on the brink of a World Series title. So all of that is coming up on today's show, but first a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Fangraphs as a Rotographs contributor. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So I look forward to getting into the Giants offseason, and after the World Series ends, a lot is going to happen as it relates to the Giants. They have to make qualifying offer decisions. I think Kevin Gausman will get one. They have an exclusive window for negotiating with their own free agents, and some other stuff happens as well. So shortly after the World Series ends, we'll get into that, and that'll be this week, of course, that we'll start to talk more about that. But for now, the Dodgers are on the brink of their first World Series title since 1988. Of course, the Rays just need to win two games and they would win the World Series and crush the Dodgers' spirits for the third time in 4 years in the World Series. And of course, they've been to the postseason 8 years in a row. They've had arguably the best team in baseball year after year after year for at least the last 3 to 5 years, and it looks like finally they may be able to push through and win their first World Series title. And honestly, they could have won it yesterday if they had held on to their win in Game 4. But before we talk about Game 4, I want to talk about Game 3. We previewed this game. It was Walker Buehler against Charlie Morton. I said, whenever Buehler's on the mound, it's going to be advantage Dodgers. Morton is a really good pitcher too, but Buehler, to me, is a top five pitcher in all of baseball, and he's working his way up to, you know, being perhaps top three with outings like this. So he went out there and dominated, ended up going six innings with 10 strikeouts. He's just got probably one of the best, maybe behind Garrett Cole, the best fastballs in Major League Baseball. It just hops up to the plate. It has that life on it that you don't normally see, and it's overwhelming for hitters. They can't pull the trigger oftentimes, and then when they do swing, they're just not able to do anything with that pitch. And of course, he's got a good breaking ball as well. So Buehler, just an unbelievably talented pitcher, waiting in the wings if this goes to a game seven. And it is possible he could, you know, pitch an inning or two maybe in game six if needed. But I don't know, that's just my speculation. So on the other side, Charlie Morton just had an uncharacteristically bad outing, gave up 5 runs in 4 1/3. Justin Turner hit a home run in the first inning, setting the tone for what was kind of a blowout game for the Dodgers. They ended up winning 6-2. Okay, so but the crazy game was the next one, game four. I don't know why I keep saying that. So this was a crazy back-and-forth game started by Julio Urias for the Dodgers and Ryan Yarbrough for the Rays. Urias pitched very well. I mean, he gave up 2, I believe they were solo home runs, 9 strikeouts, though, in 4 2/3. But the story of this game was A, the fact that there was scoring in 8 consecutive half innings, starting with the bottom of the 4th and ending in the bottom of the 8th, or the last run scoring in the top of the 8th. So it was back and forth, quite an entertaining game. And then in the bottom of the 9th, the Dodgers go to Kenley Jansen, who has kind of struggled late in the year and in the postseason. He had pitched the previous day, gave up a home run to Randy Arozarena in the 9th, but the Dodgers had a big enough lead that it wasn't a big deal. But in this 9th inning, with a one-run lead, he comes in, gives up a one-out bloop single to Kevin Kiermaier, and then Randy Arozarena walks after a long at-bat. So there's two on. He's got two outs at this point. And the Rays have no choice but to go to Brett Phillips, who is very much not a threat at the plate. He's one of the worst offensive players in MLB. His real skill set is defense and base running. So they certainly didn't want to have to use Phillips, but that was the only guy they had left. And he had entered as a pinch runner earlier in the game. So it came down to Phillips. He had two strikes on him, runners on first and second. And what does he do? He hits a little jam shot single into center field. And, you know, based on how not hard it was hit, and Chris Taylor in center field had to take a little bit of a route to get to the ball, it was easily going to tie the game there with two outs. But Chris Taylor takes his eye off the ball as he's going to pick it up. It hits his glove and then kind of flings it to his left as it kind of pops out of the webbing of his glove. This is allowing Randy Arozarena a possible chance to score from first base. Of course, he's going on contact with two outs, and he's fast. So Taylor picks up the ball, fires it into Max Muncy. Looks like Arozarena, maybe it's going to be a close play at the plate, but then he completely falls over, trips over himself, just goes into a heap running down the third base line. And as he's like tumbling to the ground, Muncy has cut the ball off between home and first. He kind of, you know, obviously doesn't know what's going on. He's facing the outfield trying to bring in the ball. Catches the ball, kind of turns and throws in one motion without really looking. Of course, he has to because he thinks there's going to be a close play at the plate. And then Will Smith, the catcher, has to reach to his right to try to grab the ball. And he takes his eye off the ball, quickly trying to turn to his left to look at Arozarena trying to come to the plate and score. So Smith doesn't secure the ball before that turn. So it hits the webbing of his glove and goes past him towards the backstop. And, you know, Arozarena was frozen trying to get up, thinking he was going to be, you know, caught in the middle and have to get into a little bit of a pickle. But he sees that the ball goes past Will Smith, so he had started to go back to third, and then he turns and goes back to home and just dives onto the plate and scores the winning run. So just a dramatic play, and it was a walk-off two-run, you know, single with an error, with maybe two errors. I don't know the official ruling, but wild play, and that gave the Rays the win, tied the series. The Dodgers were one strike away from going up 3-1. So rather dramatic. We'll talk more about it, and then we'll talk about the last game and preview what's to come in the second half of the show. But before we get into it, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional facts about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll wrap up the conversation of that wild Game 4, talk about Game 5, and then look at what's to come. So, I mean, it was just a gut-wrenching loss if you're a fan of the Los Angeles Dodgers, being one strike away from a 3-1 series lead, but instead giving up this wild, crazy hit. I mean, the hit was pretty standard, but then the play after that was completely botched by the Dodgers. If Taylor just fields the ball, normally a Rosarena doesn't even try to score. It was just a routine single, and he scores from first because of some misplays in the outfield and the relay and the play by Will Smith at the plate. So to go from one strike away from being up 3-1 to the Rays have tied the series and have all this momentum after this crazy come-from-behind win in the ninth, that was devastating if you're a Dodgers fan, but elating if you're not a Dodgers fan and if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, of course. So it looked like, I mean, my goodness, it really looked like it could be the turning point of the series and that it was suddenly going to be perhaps advantage Rays, and that if they could carry that momentum into Game 5 and somehow pull off a win there and then be up 3-2, of course, they would be the favorites then to win the World Series. But it didn't go that way, because in the top of the first inning in Game 5, the Dodgers just immediately set the tone for this Game 5 win. Mookie Betts hit a leadoff double. They ended up scoring 2 runs in the first. And I think that just erased the previous night, turned the attention to this night, and the Dodgers were able to hold on and win. Clayton Kershaw pitched 5 2/3 innings, gave up just 2 earned runs, escaped a really dicey situation. I think it was first and third, nobody out, and he got out of it without any runs scoring. The last out occurring on an attempted steal of home, and it was a great play by Kershaw to step off, throw home really quickly. I mean, it was a great heads-up play by Max Muncy to point out from first base that the runner was trying to steal home, because Kershaw was facing first base, so he can't see the runner behind him taking off. So it was really a great play by Muncy and Kershaw and Austin Barnes. Austin Barnes was catching. So credit to the Dodgers there. And I mean, that was going to be the tying run. But then Max Muncy hit an absolute bomb. Jock Peterson had homered earlier. The Dodgers are just a home run hitting machine right now. And where are all the people who say you don't want to be too reliant on home runs? I mean, that argument, I get it. A lot of people do make that argument. But home runs, like them or hate them, like, you have to hit them. And the Dodgers and the Rays are two examples of that. And it's just really, really, really tough to beat the Dodgers, because they grind their way on base, and then every guy in that lineup is a threat to go deep. And that's basically what we've seen all postseason long from them. Just getting on base, grinding out at bats, and then hitting a bunch of homers. And oftentimes guys are on base. So it's just really tough. Giants fans obviously know how tough this Dodgers team is. But I did want to point out, like, we're not seeing small ball necessarily. We're seeing a lot of big flies and just power. And that's kind of, you know, a lot of people, like last year when the Washington Nationals won the World Series, they were saying, oh, this is proof that, like, the new school baseball doesn't work. You've got to, because the Nationals bunt a lot and they didn't, you know, they had starting pitchers that went deep into games. That's certainly one way to do it. But this World Series is the complete opposite. So if you're going to make the case last year that proved that small ball was king, well, then this year is proving the opposite. So in reality, there are multiple ways to do it, but I would rather face the Nationals in a World Series than the Dodgers, like, almost certainly. I mean, the starting pitching thing, put that aside, but in terms of facing the offense, I'd much rather face a team that's giving away outs than the Dodgers, who just don't give away a single at bat, it seems. So what's to come after this Dodgers 4-2 win in Game 5? They now have a 3-2 lead in the series, off day today, and then on Tuesday, they're going to have a chance to win the World Series. They're going to have 2 chances. It figures to be a little bit of a rematch of Game 2, I guess, with Blake Snell going for the Rays he pitched great. So I would look for Snell to be really tough again. He's a really good pitcher. He struggled early in the postseason, but he's just, to me, he's a really excellent starting pitcher, one of the best strikeout starting pitchers in the game. And the Dodgers seem to be going with that same maybe opener kind of Tony Gonsolin thing. I'm sure we'll see somebody good in relief following up Gonsolin, whether it's Dustin May, who pitched in Game 5, or, I don't know, maybe Walker Buehler makes an appearance if they've got like a 3-run lead in the sixth inning. Maybe he just comes in and tries to close it out. I don't know what exactly they're going to do. It's hard to predict with the Dodgers. Perhaps Julio Urias is available for an inning or so. I don't know, but, you know, the Rays have a real shot. Blake Snell is good. Game 2 didn't go well for the Dodgers, and that's kind of a rematch in this matchup in Game 6. If it goes to Game 7, Walker Buehler is scheduled to make that start for the Dodgers, and it would be against Charlie Morton again, so he would have a chance for redemption. But I like the Dodgers' chances, just being candid and honest. Obviously, up 3-2, they look like the superior team. The Rays are more than capable. I think we're seeing exactly what they're capable of, which is scrapping their way to wins and coming back and just not going down quietly. So we'll probably do the mailbag again tomorrow because we do have an off day today. So look out for the prompt on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, KASPICK. If you like this show, please consider giving it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Please come back tomorrow. It'll be really fun doing the mailbag. Cannot wait. And until then, we'll see you next time.